beautiful people out there, and welcome to episode 4 of the Archery Geek Outdoors podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be looking at my shot cycle, what it was like when I first started shooting back at the back end of 2014, how it's developed, and what I'm doing to get back in control of it. If you remember from the episode about archery being a perishable skill, a lack of practice, you know, just not shooting enough, had led to it becoming almost alien to me and me struggling to get back into control of it. So I'll take you to where I am now with it and what I'm doing to try and stay in control of it. But before I get into that, I'm going to give you my thoughts on that new MyBow True Shot target bag that I bought. Honestly, I'm really, really impressed with it. For the price I've paid, you know, it's $49.99, and it stops arrows out of my bear kuma like an absolute champion. It stops them a lot better than my layered foam target did. A couple of little niggles with it, and they really are very, very minor. But overall, incredibly impressed. And to give you some idea of how hard my arrows are hitting, although my bows turned down to £65 at the moment, I worked out the arrow speed using an online arrow speed calculator. And to make sure it was somewhere thereabouts, I chronoed the bow at £70, and it was consistently putting a 423 grain arrow out at between 303 and 305 feet per second. As I said, I've wound it down to about £65 while I get over a little bit of shoulder impingement. So I put the specs at £70 into the arrow speed calculator, and it came out at 303, which tallies exactly with what the physical readings I was getting from the chrono. So I then dropped the poundage down to 65 in the arrow speed calculator, and according to that, I should be getting 295. Now, I haven't put it through a chrono at 65, but as the £70 speed was bob on with what the chrono had given me, I'm going to trust it with the £65 speed. Now, I've got a 29-inch draw. Like I said, I'm shooting a 423-grain arrow, and according to the calculator, I'm getting 81.66 foot-pound of kinetic energy and 0.55 slugs of momentum. So these arrows are hitting that target bag very, very hard. And I'm getting no more than 8 or 9 inches of penetration into it. You know, 8 or 9 inches of penetration. nothing to be ashamed of. If you know what I mean, gentlemen. But it really does stop the arrows well. When you've shot maybe 40, 50 into one side, I found it's leaning back a little, so I just turn it round, shoot the other side, and it squares itself back up. The only couple of little niggles I've got, when I come to pull my arrows, the initial pull is so ridiculously easy. Just two fingers on it, minimal pull, and it slides back. But when the insert of the arrow and the point, and I'm shooting a gold tip ultralight Entrada with a standard gold tip insert, it's no kind of outsert. I mean, I know with the bag targets, I say arrows like Victory and Black Eagle, they're nano diameter arrows and reduced diameter arrows that have an outsert, they will snag. But I'm shooting these ultralight and trial this with the standard gold tip insert, which doesn't sit any wider than the shaft, and 125 grain top hat 3D point. Initially, on about 90% of the shots, when the insert got almost to the point of the front of the bag, they would catch, and it took a really, really hard pull to get those arrows out. Now, the more I'm shooting it, the less this is happening, and like I say, it really is a very, very minor niggle. And the only other minor niggle I've got relates to that. When I tried putting a paper target face on to shoot a 300 round so I can track my scores to see how I'm progressing, when this happens, as you pull the arrow, it's tearing the target face quite badly, so it's blurred, you know, it's tearing out the lines. I can't see how I'm scoring. So instead of shooting 300 rounds with a target face, it's got little pre-printed target faces on. I've just been shooting those, and accuracy is improving. I haven't been recording a score, but I can see I'm getting closer and closer the more I shoot. But overall, I'm so impressed with this target bag. As I said, I mean, it's 70 centimeters by 60 centimeters by 12 inches, 30 centimetres deep, and weighs in at 22 kilograms. So I'd say I really can't moan. At $49.99 to buy it and $7.99 postage, I am more than happy with my purchase. Would I recommend it? Yes, I would, because like I say, I'm hitting that target damned hard. Quite a heavy arrow out of a fair poundage boat, and it's stopping them, not a problem. So I'm really, really impressed with it. So if you're looking for a budget option for a target bag, guys, it's a reasonable size. I really can recommend that one. Anyway, after that little aside, let's get back to what this podcast's about, my shot cycle. When I first got back into shooting, I wasn't really aware of having a shot cycle and controlling it. All I used to know was I knocked my arrow, I drew it back, I anchored, aimed on the target and let the shot go. That's it. Then I started becoming aware, as more people mentioned it, of a shot cycle. So I broke it down into the four most basic stages of draw, anchor, aim, release. But I became aware at one point that my groups were getting really rather bad, and when I started analysing what I was doing, I realised that as I was coming to anchor, I was starting to aim and anchor at the same point, and according to the experts, our brains can't do two things at once. You know, despite what people say about multitasking, the experts say, and I'm in no position to argue with what they say, that our brains can't do two things at once. So in trying to anchor and aim at the same time, I was actually switching between one and the other, and I just couldn't settle. So I was letting the shots go and my groups were going everywhere. So the first thing I started doing to modify this was I draw, and as I'm drawing, I'm looking at the target. So I'm pointing at the target. So if something happens, fingers crossed, I'd have hit the target. I wouldn't have been spraying arrows everywhere. But as I came to full draw, I closed my eyes as I came to anchor. So I couldn't start aiming while I'm settling to anchor. I'd anchor, open my eyes, aim, and then squeeze the trigger on my wrist release, and away the shot would go. And things started to improve. And being the novice that knew sort of all about what I was doing, I honestly thought I wanted the whole... Not wanted, I thought you needed the whole shot cycle to become subconscious. Oh boy, was I wrong. And I'll get into this a little bit later, where I mention the work done by a guy named Joel Turner that runs the Shot IQ program. There are certain parts of your shot cycle, your shot process, that can become subconscious. But then when it comes to the release has to stay totally, totally controlled. You do not want the release to become subconscious. And following this has seemed to work for me. What works for you guys, I don't know. And I am by no means any form of expert. All this is recording what I've done and what I found is working for me. Now, if there's something I'm doing that you think is horrendously wrong, something I'm doing that could be dangerous, or something you think I could do to improve it, feel free to drop me an email at archerygeekoutdoors@gmail.com. This is what this podcast is all about. I'm hoping to get folks to interact with me and help me on my journey to be a better archer, to be a fitter, healthier person. So as I've shot more and more, I've started to break down my shot cycle into every single step I do, and there are times you need it. Back before this virus, a couple of weeks before we got locked down, classic example of what happens when you don't own your shot cycle. There was a group of us shooting the woods, shot the first target nicely, bad shot on the second target, and then we got to the third target, and instead of just concentrating on the third target, I was still mulling over in my mind what I'd done wrong on the second target. Come to full draw, just settled to anchor, and one of the guys shouts, "Rich, let down, you haven't knocked an arrow." What an absolutely awful mistake, and one that potentially could have caused a lot of damage to my bow, and possibly me and the people stood round me. So this to me is the importance of me always taking myself through my shot cycle step by step. Yes, some bits can become subconscious, but after that I'm now back at trying to talk myself through my shot cycle every single arrow I shoot. And to help me with this, I'd jumped on good old YouTube. I love YouTube. Pick up so much from there. It's just knowing who are the right people to listen to. And I went to Archer's favourite resource, good old John Dudley School of Knock. And he actually did a series. I can't actually remember what the series is called, really. See, this is where I should have a plan when I'm doing these podcasts. I should have written this down so I knew. But if you look at the Knock on YouTube, he actually takes people over several weeks through the shot cycle. And this was fantastic. And then I discovered a guy named Joel Turner, like I say, Shot IQ. And a lot of people aren't aware of who Joel Turner is. I mean, I watched one of his videos where he worked with Dan Staton of Elk Shape. And the comments coming flaming this guy was, oh, who's Joel Turner? I'll watch John Dudley. I've never heard of Joel Turner. Tell me what competitions he's won. Well, he doesn't have to win competitions. When Levi Morgan goes to this guy to get coached, straight away, the guy's got credence. So now, from that very basic start of draw, anchor, aim, release, and think of nothing else, step one of my shot cycle, knock my arrow. Like I said, a few weeks back, I wasn't in control of it at all, and I nearly dry-fired my bow. You know, I've got to say a massive thank you to Joe for shouting me and saying I hadn't knocked an arrow. First thing, knock the arrow. Second, my stance. Now, I shoot NFAS. The woods we shoot in are a flat wood. Occasionally, we'll try and find a slightly different place to shoot a shot from. So you got 1 foot on a log, 1 foot off a log. We've got a couple on cotton reels where you shoot down. But generally, our course is flat. And it's been a bit of a shock when I've gone to other courses. First other course I shot at was Sunset Arches in Kidderminster, Nick Aston's EFA course. That's on the side of a valley. And it was a shock not to be able to have a good, natural, flat stance. Similar with Briar Rose, some of their shots, your feet are uneven. You think your bow's vertical. You look at the bubble, and your bubble's way off, purely because the ground's so uneven. So, first thing, set my knock. Knock my arrow, then I'll set my stance. What I'm looking for is just a nice, comfortable, balanced stance. As much as I can, I'll try and get my back foot parallel with the target, my front foot about 45 degrees to it in a semi-open stance. Then I look at the target, and from this point on, I try not to take my eyes off that target at all. I'll set my grip on the bow. Again, trying to be as consistent as I can. That's the thing with archery. I found it's all about consistency and repetition. For you wouldn't think a sport that is so repetitive could be so addictive and so much fun, but I really am addicted to it. So I'll set my grip. I've got my release aid hooked onto my D-loop. I bring my arms up, and I tend to low draw. As I'm drawing, I'm coming up, so my bow's pointing at the target, constantly looking at this target. Now, I tend to draw to the side of myself. I don't draw back towards my face, I draw to the side of my head, and this is purely because twice now I've had D-loops break. You know, I inspect my D-loop, couldn't see anything wrong. First time, I was pulling back towards my face, pulling 70 pounds, a three-quarter draw. When that D-loop breaks, your hand comes back bloody quickly, and I smacked myself square in the mouth. Luckily, I didn't bleed, but I knocked myself about 6 feet back off the target peg. The guy I was shooting with thought it was absolutely bloody hilarious, and to be fair, if I'd seen somebody else do it, I think I'd have been in stitches myself, because it must have looked hilarious. After that, I decided to start drawing to the side of my face. But again, not being in full control of that shot cycle and not being completely aware, I had started moving in and drawing back closer to my face. And when my second D-loop snapped, I caught myself a glancing blow in the face. Nothing as bad as the first time. Still shocked me. So now, as I draw, I always make sure that draw cycle is way to the side of my face. So if I should have a D-loop break or a release fail, I'm not going to punch myself in the mouth again. Then once I'm at full draw, I bring my bow into my face to anchor. Now, my anchor points, I shoot a wrist rocket release. I've tried a thumb button, and although they're supposed to be more accurate, I found that I just can't get as consistent an anchor with the thumb button release. And when I shoot it properly, I am more accurate, but I cannot achieve the consistency with the thumb button release. So the knuckle of my first finger, when I come to anchor, comes in to the top of my jaw, just behind my ear. String comes past the corner of the mouth, and classic touches the tip of the nose. But again, this is something that I had to break down more, and it wasn't until I watched a video by Josh Bomar that I realized the difference putting forth, the amount of force your nose puts on that string, particularly because I shoot a compound with 80% let off. 70-pound compound at full draw with 80% let off. There's only 14 pound on that string. Most of the tension is on the cables of the bow. Apparently, a 70 pound bow at full draw, these cables are holding 350 to 400 pounds of pressure, which is a scary amount. But I wouldn't be consistent with the amount of pressure I was getting against the string on my nose. And having watched this video of Josh Bomar's, it can make an awful lot of difference. So as I'm anchoring, not only am I paying attention to where my knuckle is in relation to my jaw at the bottom of my ear and the strings at the corner of my mouth, I'm also having to pay a lot of attention to the amount of pressure that the string's pushing against my nose with, because I need that to be consistent. So now I have it just barely touching my nose. And once I'm comfortably at anchor, that's when I acquire my peep and my sight. I'm generally, my pin's fairly close to where I want it to be, so I'll let it settle on where I want to hit. And again, as a newbie, nobody told me pin float's acceptable. When I first started, I thought you had to have that pin rock solid on where you want it to hit. And I wouldn't say it was target panic per se. I suppose it must have been a mild form, because as soon as that pin hit that center, I was smacking that shot off. To be fair, I had some quite good results. You know, I wasn't terrible, but I wasn't as good as I could have been. Like I say, nobody said it was acceptable to have pin float. I thought you had to hold that pin rock solid on where you wanted to get it, you know, to get the arrow to hit behind the pin. And again, good old YouTube, the likes of John Dudley. And, oh, I think it's RC Archery as well. RC Archery on YouTube. Pin float's acceptable. You don't want the pin going everywhere. But according to these guys, pin float was acceptable. So it goes against everything you think you should do. But I had to start letting my pin float and try. Yes, I could get that float controllable. So where I was getting a little figure eight, and the more I shot, the smaller that figure eight got. But like I say, I'm happy to let the pin float now. And looking back now, I realized when I was trying to hold that pin dead still on the center of the target, I wasn't relaxed in my shot. I must have been tensing everything so badly. You know, it's a wonder I didn't end up with cramps in my shoulders. Now, the aim and release was where, okay, yeah, sometimes I still do struggle, and it was watching Joel Turner's videos that really started to make me uber-analyze, oh God, uber, I hate that word, really pick apart this the last two stages of my shot cycle, the aim and the release. There was me thinking I had to aim and the release had to be subconscious. No. According to Joel Turner, and like I say, when you look at the guy he's coached, and let me give you some background on him. Joel Turner is a police officer. He also trains, he's a firearms instructor. I think it's Washington he's in, and all the police cadets that go through Washington Police, the Washington State Police Academy, Joel Turner trains. The guy also trains snipers. Now, there's no room for error with a sniper, so the guy knows what he's talking about. What Joel Turner concentrates on with Shot IQ, and some of you might have heard of him through his own channel, Iron Mind Hunting, is the mental process of your shot cycle. Everybody else will take you through your physical. When I came across him, I don't know if anybody else looks at the mental side now, there was only Joel Turner talking about the mental process. And this is where he came across about the can't concentrate on two things at once. So when you're concentrating on your aiming, you're not concentrating, you're not thinking about your release. And I thought, well, surely you need to concentrate on your aim, but no. According to Joel, and like I say, I have no reason to doubt him. I'm in no position to doubt the guy at all, because, you know, if you look at who he's coached, the guy's got some serious credentials behind him. Slightly off track there. Where was I? Yeah, I was concentrating on the aim and not the release, and it's the release you need to concentrate on. And this took a little bit of time for me to get my mind around. Well, if I'm not concentrating on my aiming, how do I know if my pin's on target? And he uses a phrase, watch it to keep it. Although you're looking at it, you're not thinking about it. You're not thinking about where that pin is. You're just looking at it, and you look it and keep it. And it took a good couple of 3 weeks of going over this time and time again in my head to start to get control of my shot cycle. And what Joel calls it is a closed loop shot cycle. If it's subconscious, it's open loop. You have no control of it. And I've got to admit, before, when that pin cross was on the center, I'd smack that trigger and I couldn't stop myself from doing it. Once I'd started my finger moving towards that trigger, it wasn't stopping. What Joel teaches is slowing everything down. And he's even gone to the extreme of he'll say to somebody, pull, 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 or squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And the speed he says those words controls the speed of their shot. I've tried this when I'm shooting. I will actually keep repeating to myself in my head, squeeze, pull, squeeze, pull. I say squeeze and pull because shooting a wrist rocket, I used to shoot rifles and pistols, so I'm more used to the squeeze. And my release, my shot release, is I'd say 80% squeeze, 20% pull. I get a good deep hook on my trigger, not on the pad of my finger, because that's mega sensitive. I'll try and get down into the first knuckle, curl my finger around the trigger, and I'll be watching the target but not thinking about it. And all I'll be thinking is squeeze, pull, and majority of the time I can get that surprise release that most people want. Now, obviously for hunters, it can be different. They're very often on a short time, you know, they've got very little time to take the shot. They need pure command release. But shooting 3D and shooting a paper face isn't the bag target in the garden. I want that shot to be as controlled. So if at any time something doesn't feel right about it, I can stop that shot and let down. And as I said before, for me, learning to let down was the biggest thing. And indeed, Rob Jones, a lot of you will know Rob through his Off the Arrow Shelf podcast. Rob's an amazing archer, thoroughly nice bloke, and a very, very good coach. He said the hardest thing to learn to do is let down. And I actually get quite a buzz now if something doesn't feel right. And instead of just trying to readjust and punch that shot off, I'll let down and reset. And at the final stage of my shot execution, which really is a subconscious, is I used to drop my bow arm really badly. As soon as that shot had broken, I'd be dropping my arm to see where the arrow had gone. You know, just out of sheer excitement. Is it on? Is it? Have I hit? Have I hit? And when I was shooting a whisker biscuit, you know, although you think you can't move as fast as that arrow can, you can. Your arm will drop and you actually pull the arrow down. So I switched to a drop away rest, really to compensate for very poor form. What I should have done was persevered. As it was, now I've actually made it part of my shot cycle that I let my arm move naturally, but I'm not dropping it. I'm trying to keep eyes on that target. And yes, my bow's in the way, but if I keep eyes on the target, I shoot better, a lot better. And I tend to get the thing when I'm shooting groups or shooting three or four arrows an end, where I'd put three good arrows down, and on that fourth one, I would be so excited at getting a good group that down had come the bow arm again. So that, I try to keep that follow through. Although it's an automatic response, I try and keep it as part of my shot cycle. I'm just looking at this timer on this. 28 minutes of my shot cycle. Bloody hell, folks. I hope you're not getting bored. Apologies if you are, but thank you for sticking this far into it with me. Now, the other thing I've found is when I start to get tired, my shot cycle, the last bits break down. Classic example, the other day, I'd been shooting probably for about an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half. Now, when I bought Makuma, I went and tried it out at Merlin, where I bought it from. Yeah, I keep mentioning Merlin. Please, I'm not sponsored by or affiliated by them in any way. It's just a couple of products I've had. I've been so happy with the service, you know, so happy with the product. But I went to try and shoot it because I'd heard a few say it's a little bit jumpy on the back wall. And I thought, well, if it's jumpy on the back wall, do I really want to be buying it? Shot it, didn't find it at all jumpy. But shooting the other day, again, like I say, I'm only just upping the amount of arrows I'm shooting in the last few weeks. I'd been shooting an hour and a quarter, hour and a half, and all of a sudden it was jumpy on the back wall. And I couldn't figure what was going on. And this is part, to me, of knowing my shot cycle. Whether you guys agree or disagree, I don't know. Like I say, let me know what you think. archerygeekoutdoors@gmail.com. If you've got anything to say, hate mail, feel free to send it. But it was jumpy. And I'm thinking, well, I'm holding back right. What's different? And then I realised, because I was starting to get tired, my bow arm, my front shoulder was creeping back. And of course, with a compound, it's 6-inch brace height, it's a bit of a speed bow, so yeah, it hasn't got the longest valley. But with this front shoulder creeping up and back, the bow was wanting to go. So stopped 10 minutes, gave my shoulders a rest, and went back, and I'm good again. But it's only because, well, I think it's only because I've now identified these shit steps in my shot cycle. In fact, that's a step I missed out. As I'm coming to draw, I also make sure my bow arm shoulder is down. When I first started shooting, it was up and up towards my jaw, and now I keep that down. God, there's me thinking I know my shot cycle. And as I'm talking now, I'm realizing I'm identifying more steps. This is one of the purposes of this, to try and help me improve. And it's keeping that bow shoulder down. Here we go. There's another one I've missed. And again, this was one down to John Dudley. Shoot proud. Basically, upright, shoulders back. It's only when I started doing this, I realised when I was shooting, I must have been hunched and shoulders rounded. And now, see, like I say, I'm identifying stuff all the time. This is what Joel Turner calls blueprinting your shot. I thought I had, but I obviously haven't got it right because I'm now thinking of other things I do. Once I've set my grip, I'll make sure I'm standing upright, bring myself up to full height, shoulders back, before I come up to that pre-draw. And this is, yeah, I'm happy with this. A little bit disappointed in myself that I obviously haven't blueprinted my shot cycle correctly. But this is going to help me. As boring as it may be for you guys, sorry about this. I really am. I'm waffling something terrible tonight. But this is really going to help. And blueprinting your shot cycle. Again, I keep coming back to Joel Turner. But, you know, Joel's done an online course and he's written a book. The book, I think, is $30. I say a book. I know somebody that's bought it. I'm sure it's Simon Thomas, that I mentioned last week. And he said it's actually more of a little pamphlet. You know, you pay $30, you get it, you think, wow, is this all I've got for my $30? But he said that's what he thought. But then when he went through it, he said it has revolutionised his shooting. So I am going to invest in that. And then the other thing I'm going to invest in, once we're out of this and I haven't got to watch money quite so much, I think I'm going to enroll in his online Shot IQ course. The online Shot IQ course is $200. Now, as he put it, and I thought, wow, that's expensive. But it's not, particularly for target archers. I mean, you think some of you target archers out there, if there's any target archers listening, if there's anybody listening, actually, you know, they'll go out and buy these, oh God, is it the X10s or the Pro Tours? tungsten tips in, you know, a dozen of these arrows is going to run you over £500. So all of a sudden, $200 to help you shoot those £500 arrows is nothing. And once you've enrolled on the course, all the updates he does, any new modules he has, you don't have to pay for them. They're there, you get them automatically. Now, £500 set of arrows, you can blow through in a couple of months. You know, especially if you're shooting longer distance on the single spot and you're stacking arrows, you know, if you're good enough to stack arrows against each other, you know, £500 can be gone in 6 months. This is £200 for a lifetime of instruction. So you look at that and all of a sudden this becomes incredibly good value. So I am going to buy the book, and then once I get that, Sarah, get on with that, I'll let you know. Not sure when I'm going to buy it, but I am going to buy it. I think I'm seriously going to look at getting into this online Shot IQ course. And if you want to know more about Joel and what he does, he's got his own YouTube channel, Shot IQ. Greg Poole has had him on the Bow Junkie podcast, and Garrett Weaver, I think it was, has also had him on the On Point podcast. Really, really well worth listening. It's changed my mind, and I know if I control my shot cycle, like he says. Classic example, we were down at the club Saturday afternoon, shooting diagonally across the practice field. We can get 60 yards. And this was when I'd first come across Joel's teaching methods. And we put a polystyrene cup on the boss at 60 yards. Bottom of the polystyrene cup's what? 2 inches wide. And bear in mind, like I say, I was shooting my Epics then. So it's a 32.5 axle to axle bow, 70-pound draw, with a 5-pin hunting sight on it. And at 60 yards, I stacked all 4 arrows that I shot into the bottom of this polystyrene cup. What Joel says, for me, works. You know, it might not work for you guys, but for me, it certainly does. And let's say after that, not shooting enough, my shot cycle had gone completely to pot. Even after working on it now, as you've just seen, I thought I got it blueprinted. It's only as I've gone through it, I've remembered there's another couple of steps there. Now, when I'm shooting, I know what steps I go through, but trying to repeat it back to you guys here so you can see what I do and how it relates to what you do. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything else I can do? Is there anything I'm doing wrong? It's obviously not completely imprinted yet, because I couldn't relate those steps one after the other. You know, there's a couple of 3 steps I've realised after I'd missed out. And Joel's biggest thing is blueprint your shot. Know exact every time exactly what you did. And I still, mentally, I say it to myself. The example when I don't was that third target a few weeks back where I drew without an arrow on. And that just highlights to me the importance, certainly to me, of being totally in control of my shot cycle and knowing exactly what I'm doing at all times. And that could have been catastrophic for my bow. It could have injured me. It could have injured those around me. And this is what we've got to remember. As much, you know, archery is such good fun, and it is fun, it's enjoyable, it's addictive. There is always a risk there. Like most good things in life, they come with a risk. And like I say, I'm eternally grateful to Joe for stopping me. And this really is the importance to me of controlling my shot cycle. Like I say, it may be subconscious, but when I've been shooting these last few days, I've been speaking myself through every step in my head. And I think I'm going to continue to do that. I don't know if any of you other guys do it, you know, let me know if you do. But I am going to continue to talk myself through my shot cycle with every single arrow. Now, when you listen to Joel, he says, when you're first doing this, don't worry about where that arrow's landing. Just shoot a controlled shot. At any point in that shot, before that arrow leaves the bow, you should be able to stop that shot. This is the closed loop. It means you have control. And I've got to admit, when I shoot controlled, I shoot so much better. Anyway, there's been a lot of waffling, a lot of rambling from me tonight, more so than any other podcast. Thank you so much for staying with me. Thank you so much to listen. Please sign up for the podcast. Feel free to email me anytime on archerygeekoutdoors@gmail.com. I check my emails I try to do it most days, sometimes it's every 2 days, you know. Any comments, suggestions, hints, anything you'd like to hear me talk about in future podcasts, let me know. I'll be happy to cover them if I can. Like I said, I'm not an expert. This is just me keeping track of what I'm doing. Kind of an audio diary for me, so I can listen back, so I can track what I'm doing. Hopefully get you guys to interact with me, you know, see if we can help each other. But thank you so much for listening, guys. Look forward to you joining me next time. Take care, keep practicing, and have fun. Bye-bye.